You can see the title of my message up behind me. And as you can see, it's taking divine opportunities to live out your divine purpose. So what happens is I've got the Your Kingdom Living series, which I wanted to kind of wrap up over today and in 2 weeks' time because I'm on the camp next week, and kind of finish the year off with it. And God kind of just interjects. And when God interjects in terms of my preaching, you know that you better put your seatbelts on. Throughout the week, God has been speaking to me just around our move onto our land. And the building has been an unbelievable process to be involved in. But we're fast approaching actually getting onto our land. 11 or 12 weeks' time, we will be in our building on a Sunday morning like this. Now, sure, it might not have the bells and whistles and the carpets and the, you know, the thunder, lightning, very, very frightening stuff, but it's going to be an amazing moment where we move on to or into our promised land. And we may not be like the Israelites who took 40 years to get there. It's taken us 8 years since we planted and probably 6 years since we got the land. But what I looked at is I looked at Joshua as he's crossing over the Jordan with the Israelites, and I looked at the principles in which they operated in and what God spoke to them, and I said, we can learn from that. That as we approach, in a sense, moving into this new season, into this promised place that God has for us, what can we learn? And I believe that we can learn this and we can apply these principles no matter what season or new season you may be going into. Maybe you've got a new job. Maybe you've got a new relationship you're going into. Maybe you're looking to move cities or towns or countries or whatever the case might be. Whatever that new season may look like, I think we can apply these principles. So, this is where the Israelites were. They were at a place, and it's in the Bible, called Shittim. Okay? They're in Shittim. You can see on the right. It's kind of slightly off the... They move to the Jordan. So let's have a look and see. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, and I've got a thing here, is Joshua and all the Israelites set up from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Chapter 5, verse 2, it says, at this time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And that's when the men said, well, can we not just have a secret handshake? In Joshua 5, verse 8, it says, and after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained there where they were in camp before they were healed, before they moved on. So my first position, my first point is they positioned themselves. What do you do when you need to go overseas? Where do you go? You go to the airport. You don't sit at home waiting for the plane to come and pick you up at your front door, do you? No, you've got to position yourselves. You've got to be at the airport. You've got to go through customs. And you've got to sit there with your ticket and position yourself so that when the plane takes off, you're able to get onto it and do what you need to do. Like I said, the Israel moved from Shittim to the Jordan River. They positioned themselves. They prepared for this move. They were wanting to cross over into this promised land. There was a divine purpose on their lives. And there was now a divine opportunity that God said, now is the time. And they wanted to take a hold of that divine opportunity to move into the divine destiny that he had for him. But they took responsibility. They moved from that place. Many of us have got some of that stuff in our lives. And we're saying we need to move from that place into a place where we can move over into the promised land. Sorry, this thing's, I feel like I'm in the toilet at the moment. And exactly. Thank you for that, yeah. So we have stuff. Each one of us has stuff that we need to deal with, and we need to make sure that when we move over, that God has put us into a place of being whole so that we can move into the promised places and the promised land that God has for us. They'd been wandering for 40 years in the desert. They're now about to cross over into this promise that God had for them. They were coming from the shadows into the light. Remember, they weren't any trouble to anybody in Canaan because they weren't there. Now they're going to cross over. That was an act of war. They were about to move into a place where people went, hold on a second, these folks have just crossed over into our territory. There's going to be trouble that's going to happen. They're moving from the shadows and they're becoming highly visible. So let's look at us. We're about to move on to our land. My question is how are you positioning yourself in this community for our move across? Because often people say, so Gary, what are you going to do? No, what are you guys going to do? What are we going to do as a community? What am I going to do? What are the adjustments that I'm going to make or that I have made to position myself to be ready to take the opportunity that God is presenting for this church, for me as an individual, for you as an individual, in the context of our community, for what God's going to do? We are moving, ladies and gentlemen, from the shadows into the light. Nobody really knows that we're here. Nobody knew we were in the Bottoms. Now all of a sudden, we're going to be positioned in that monstrosity across the road there, on a main road, right next to Stain City, where 70,000 people are arriving in the next decade. I don't know if that keeps you awake at night. It does me. Because God's called us to be people of light, to be able to shine the salt and light into this particular context and we're in, so that we influence the city for his kingdom and for his kingdom's sake. So, we need all hands on deck come the 25th of February. Let me say that again. We need all hands on deck. We don't need people shrinking back. We don't need people going, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm doing this. You guys do it. You know why? Because you'll be left behind. We need people to take responsibility for their stuff. That they move from that place to position themselves into a place where the Holy Spirit could come and circumcise their hearts, and that when we move across there in 11 weeks, we can move across there whole and healed and not have stuff and project stuff onto each other. What? We're in one of the lowest economic times in South Africa. We've just been downgraded again. Our political situation is a total mess, yet it's going to be the church's finest hour. Amen. God has called us to come and bring an influence. And so what's going to happen is when people lose their idols and the things that they believe that they're living for, which is going to happen, guess where they're going to come? They're going to come in search of God, and are we ready to be able to welcome them in and to lead them into their destiny that God has for them? Or are we going to be caught up in our own stuff and not doing stuff and not making the adjustments and positioning ourselves that we can take this divine opportunity that is here to walk out our divine destiny? So, my question is, are we able to do that? Are we able to make the adjustments? Are we able to move into what God has for us? Because you know what he says here, and I'm going to go through this in a moment, is the leaders start to go, he has some specific instructions. This is how we're going to do it. This is where we're going to go. And there's a whole process of what needs to happen in order for us to move from here. Let's position ourselves. And now when we position ourselves and we've got a posture of listening to what God is saying, now God is going to go, okay, this is how you go about it. And we'll see in a moment that that's what it is. The Jordan is in flood, ladies and gents. If you go and get pictures of it, and I meant to put one up here, it's like 3 kilometers across of flood. You cannot get across it. And yet, when they put their feet in the water, it opens up and they're able to go through. Divine opportunity. They grabbed it to move into the divine purpose. You know what? There's a time of favor that is upon, there's sometimes a favor upon time. There's a favor upon people. Right now, I'm feeling very favored. I think as a community, we should feel favored. I'm going to show you pictures in a moment. That 3 months ago, we had nothing on our property. With no resources, with no scope of resources, with no possibility of having resources. And now, just go have a look there today and see what you will see. Both classrooms will be up by the end of the week. How did that happen? But here's the thing, is if we don't respond to the divine opportunity that God has for us, and remember, I'm talking not just about church. I'm using our church journey as a metaphor. If you don't respond to the divine opportunity that God's got for you, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's something, I don't know what, it could be anything. So let's not just keep it limited to what we're doing here, but I'm using our journey as a metaphor in your own life. If you don't take the divine opportunities that God has for you, he's going to use somebody else. Well, where do you get that, Gary? Well, let's go straight to the scriptures then. Esther speaks to Mordecai. Her words come to Mordecai, and he sends an answer back. He says, do not think that because you are in the king's house, that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, if you do nothing, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family will perish. And who knows that you've come to this royal position for such a time as this. All of you here this morning are not here by chance. God has designed the times and places. Go to Acts 17, or where you should live and where you should have your being. You're in Lifehouse community right now. If this is not where God's told you to be, then what are you doing here? Because we're about to move on to our land. We are not moving into our next season, ladies and gents. We are moving into a totally new season. And are we all ready to take up the slack and to get involved and to do what God has called us to do? Or are we all kind of shrinking back and saying, no, Gary and the staff of the church will do that? That's not what this community has been called to. I wonder if there were some families that were in that other place, that were kind of going, you know what, Josh, we'll see you later. You know, we've got some stuff that we need to do, and we'll see you, you know, by the Jordan. I know you're going there. Yeah, you know, it's just past Northgate, and it's just over there. Okay, we'll see you there in a couple of days. And 3 days later, they step into the water, and the waters recede, and they move across. And then this poor old family comes on day four and goes, where'd they go? Oh, my word, they're across there. How did they get across there? And they miss the miracles and what God wants to do in and through a community because they're too busy doing what they want to do rather than coming together in a community in terms of what God's doing. Are we ready for this new season? Are you ready for this new season? I've got to be honest, I'm not. I'm hopefully going to be. But I'm going, God, how are we going to do this? Where are we going to go? The fear and anxiety is a leader. I mean, I'm sure Joshua was going, really? We're going to step in the water and what are you going to do, Lord? Because God didn't tell him what is going to happen. Just said, take the ox, priest, step in the water and boom. Now God is telling us to go there. I don't know why. Why did God put that on my heart to have this piece of land? Why are we doing what we're doing? I don't know. Secondly, here's an interesting one, is that we have prophecy, we have the word of the Lord, but that doesn't get us going, strategy does. So let's read some text, Joshua chapter 3 verse 2. It says, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, if you are to move out from your positions and you must follow it, then you will know which way to go since you've never been that way before. Hello? I'm right there right now. You say, Gary, where are we going? I don't know. We've never been this way before. But you know what? God's going to lead and guide us, and he's going to do it as we take the steps, as we put our feet into the water. Then it goes on, but keep your distance, about 1,000 cubits between the ark. Don't go near it. In verse 9, it says, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out all those ites. And I'm not going to go Canaanites, Hivites, blah, 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 ites. So here's the point, is that we have a prophetic word. We have the word of God. You have the word of God for certain things in your life. God has spoken things over you. Chatting to somebody this morning saying, I've lost focus on what God's doing. I can't see it anymore. No, God's spoken it. He said it. So the word's there. But now what is the strategy to walk it out? How do we implement the strategy that the word's been given? Now how do we go and actually make it happen? The sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, the sons of Issachar, they were men who understood the times, and we always stop there. Okay, we understand the season. We understand. No, no, but they knew what Israel should do. Do you know what you should be doing in this next season that God's calling us into as a community, but also what God's calling you as an individual into? You see, it's important to understand that we have the word of the Lord. We have a strategy that God wants to. Why do you think Joseph, in Genesis 40, what do you think happened there? He gets the interpretation of the dream. So it's amazing. I can come and I say, Louise, yeah, I've got a word for you. Dum, bum, 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 bum. And then many of us kind of stand there and go, okay, God's given me a word. Okay, Lord, when are you going to perform it? No, no. God's saying, no, I've given you the word. The reason why Joshua was placed into second in command of Egypt wasn't because he interpreted the dream. If you go read in the context, and we don't have time right now, it was because he gave the strategy to walk out the interpretation of the dream. No, this is what you need to do. Oh, okay, well then you're going to do it. He who has the vision gets the job. You know, that's an adage I've got. God has put visions and stuff in your guys' hearts in terms of this community. And many of you have got the word of the Lord, but you haven't put the strategy in place to walk it out. And God's saying, no, we need the strategy. We need to understand what that is. Because when we get a word and we start to put our feet into the water, our faith starts to rise and action starts to happen. We can't hold back. We need to understand what God wants of us in this next season. So, we love that text, don't we? Enlarge your tent. Stretch out your... Who's going to be doing that? And there's a balance between these minor adjustments we need to make in our lives and the major adjustments we need to make. So what does the strategy look like for Lifehouse next year? Well, let me share it with you because somebody asked. That was a joke, by the way. So for the first 3 months, we have got a whole bunch of teachers that are going to be accredited for our foundation stones. They'll be writing the exam in mid-January. By February comes, we're going to be putting the foundation stones throughout the life groups. So none of you are safe. Why do we do this? Because we want the doctrine, the foundational things that we believe to be entrenched in everybody, in every person's heart, that we see what God has said, that when we talk about stuff and why we do stuff, it's in the Bible. It's not because Gary and Steve have a great idea. So we're going to be doing that for the first 3 months throughout the life groups. You know, Steve spoke on and preached on, you know, we have all of these challenges in our lives, and most of it is because we actually don't know who we are. We don't know who God is. We don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. And so we struggle through life. We don't have an assurance of salvation, so we make all these silly kind of decisions. And then we don't have to understand we've got this righteousness inside of us, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he's able to lead and guide us into the future that he has for us. That's part of our problem. So we're saying, okay, well, let's put the doctrine. We're going to make opportunity. If you don't do foundation stones in the first 6 months of this year, that's on you, because we provide an opportunity. There are men and women who have gone and trained up. We trained up for 2 weeks last year, intensive training at night from like 6 until 9, 10 at night. There are people who have put their, paying the cost in order to bring this to you, and it is amazing stuff. Because when you start to see who God is and what he's doing in our lives and who we are, we go, oh, I want to be part of that. That's what we're doing for the first 3 months. Steve and I, in particular, are going to be preaching on unity, because you know what? Where there is unity, it says God commands his blessing in life. If we are not unified in doctrine, in theology, in heart, in what we're doing, and in agreement in what's going on, guess what? We're not going to go anywhere, because the life and blessing of God is not going to be there. But you know what? When we're unified and we go, yes, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, we are going to be a lung to this community where the life of God is going to be spread out, and people are going to go, I want to be there. There's going to be the presence of God stopping traffic, and we're going to go, I want to be part of that. Hold me back, Lord. In the middle block, what we're going to do is we're going to be preaching on emotionally healthy spirituality. You know what? Because I know so many Christians who are spiritually mature, but are like childlike people who just don't move into what God has for us because they are emotionally immature. So we're taking Pete Scarzero's stuff. Go get the book. Emotionally healthy spirituality, emotionally healthy leader, emotionally healthy church, emotionally healthy relationships. Why? Because so often what breaks down is because we are not emotionally healthy. Relational breakdown comes, and the spiritual momentum that we've got breaks down because we can't deal with our stuff. So for the whole of the second block, we are going to be preaching through it, and we're going to be pushing the course through the life groups. Why? Because we want to be spiritually mature through doctrine and theology and understanding who we are. We want a spiritual maturity and an emotional maturity here that we understand and we can deal with stuff. And when stuff comes against us, we're able to go, ha, that's how we do it. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to provide moments and opportunities for people to have silence and solitude in this crazy, busy, noisy world we live in. And you know what? We're not going to just do the weekend things that we've done before, because I know not everyone can do that. We're going to go to the botanical gardens on a regular basis on a Saturday morning. And we're going to go together, and we're going to set up a time, and then we're going to go into nature, and we're going to commune with God, and we're going to get into a contemplative life, and we're going to get into this non-rush life in a very rush, busy city, so that we live out an unhurried life, engaging God and engaging others and each other, and moving forward into what God has for us. So if you're moving into a new season, what are you doing? What adjustments are you making in order to move into that new season? If you're going to just go, oh God, you're going to do it. If you're going to move into a new job, are you studying for that new job? Are you getting ready for that new job that when the opportunity comes, you're able to harness that opportunity and move into the divine destiny that God has for you? You see, it says here in the scriptures, in Proverbs, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and he will establish your plans. Think about that. You can plan all you want to do, but actually God will establish your steps. This is another translation. And in chapter 3, verse 4, I read it just now, then you will know which way to go since you've never been that way before. But if you don't provide yourself and you don't provide yourself an opportunity and build yourself up into this place with the skill sets and the whatever you need, when the divine opportunity comes, you're not going to you're not going to be able to grab it and grasp it and move into your divine purpose that he has for you. You know, I wish I could use this, and maybe I should, but this is pretty difficult to get going. No, I'm good. But check this. At first, it's hard, right? But check. Once you get going, it's momentum. Sometimes the initial thing, try go back to gym after 6 months. Try going to the swimming pool after 6 months. Try go for a run when you haven't run for a couple of years. Those first couple of runs are hectic. now all of a sudden you start to get fit again and momentum comes. Let's get to God. What do you want of me? What is my divine purpose here on earth? You've spoken over me. Let me look, read my prophetic words. Let me go to people I trust. What do you see in me? What are my gifts? What are my talents? Where am I going? Okay, God, how do I do this? How do I do this in the community? Hey, I love kids. Well, hey, guess what? We've got a kids ministry that needs teachers. Why don't you come and partner with us along raising up kids? You're not responsible for their spirituality. I am as their dad and whoever's parents are here. But for a Sunday morning, we give them an opportunity to kind of present the gospel to them at their level. Sometimes their level is even higher than ours. Number three. Ooh. Got to deal with idols. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. You know, consecrate in this particular context, the Hebrew word means the same thing as holy. So set yourself apart. Are we setting ourselves apart for what God wants to do in and through our lives? Or are we just so busy doing what we want to do? God, I'll see you on the other side. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm not going to move in my divine purpose. I'm just going to carry on and do what I do. Get busy at work, run like mad, do this, do that, do that. And actually the community and church and what you've called the church to be, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, whatever. Because unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But we've got to be other than in order to impact this world that we live in. So my question is be careful that we know I'm not talking about dead works where we're going, oh, I need to consecrate myself. I need to make myself worthy so God will accept me. No, that's done. That's done in Jesus. And if you're going to try to do that, it's called the dead work. Come to the foundation stones and you'll find out all about that. Now, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the fact that when we give ourselves to God, what does it say? When we set ourselves apart for what God wants to do of us, what does he do? I will amaze you. Imagine God amazing us over the season. I mean, he's amazed me already. I don't know about you. But God's going to amaze us when we give ourselves and set ourselves apart for him and for what he wants to do, for his plans for us, for his divine purpose. You know what? We have idols in our lives. Whether you believe it or not, you have sinful addictions. And you know what? What you do is you provide a platform for the enemy to oppose you. Well, where do I get that? Well, let's have a look. Joshua 7, chapter 1, it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. So about 3,000 of them went up and they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. Now, I thought that's not too bad odds. Eh? I mean, 3,000 men go up and only 36 get killed. But they were a bit surprised because you can imagine after Jericho, it was like, boop, 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 ha, and the walls fell down. Now they go up and they get the snort club. They got routed. They chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and they struck down on the slopes, etc. And their hearts of the people melted in fear, and they became like water. Why do you think all of this happened? Well, it just told us, because they were unfaithful to God. And then God actually explains it. Verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. I've always loved this text. It's been one of my favorite texts since I was quite small. It's like Joshua is, you know what it's like. Like you've messed up. You know things are gone. That's not the right, the circumstance. And you're like, oh, God. And he's on his face, and then God comes to him and says, what the flip are you doing? Get up off your face. He says there, stand up. Some of you, I need to say stand up. I know things are not going well, but stand up. Why? Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things that they have stolen. They have lied and they've put them in their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and they run because they are made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever is among you that is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. God has called you to a divine purpose. If you are standing with idol worship things in your heart and sinful addictions in your heart, you will not move into your divine destiny and take hold of the divine opportunities until you deal with those things. It's not an issue of sonship. It's not an issue of what God has for you. Sorry, let me rephrase that. It's not an issue of sonship in terms of I am a son of God. That's an assurance done. But in terms of destiny, in terms of inheritance, we will not move into our inheritance until we deal with those things. Steve spoke about that last week. The beautiful thing is if we come And we deal with this. And in our context, we're in Christ. We go, Lord, I confess to you that is an idol. I push those things away. I know it's going to cost me because I need to walk away from those things. I know it's going to cost me because I've got unforgiveness and issues in my heart. I need to let go of those things against those people or that person. But I let go of them because why? Because if I don't, I make myself liable for destruction. And the enemy will oppose my divine purpose. And I need to hold on to that and grab a hold of what you have for me. Because like I said, God wants our devotions to him and his ways. And when we do that, he will amaze us. God will amaze us if we do that. Number four. Okay, well, that's my... Number four, miracles versus cost. We all want the miracles, don't we? Here's my point for number four. Everything about entering the promised land was miraculous, but it costs us to live in it. Everything about entering the promised land was miraculous, but guess what? It costs us to live in it. Let's have a look at those texts. Joshua 3, verse 15. Now the Jordan was at flood stage during harvest, yet as soon as the priests carried the ark and reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water stopped flowing upstream and it piled up at a great distance away. Chapter 6 and verse 20, when the trumpets, and the army shouted, ha, 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 what happened was the walls came down and they collapsed and they charged in and they took the city. Miraculous, unbelievable signs and wonders. I'm telling you now, what's across the road there is a sign and a wonder. I'm not telling you this so that you'll act on it. I'm telling you this. I have not taken a salary from the church for 5 months. Louise hasn't taken a salary at all for 4 months. And yet we've built that. How does that happen? So you must understand, from my perspective, from where I'm standing, I'm going, God, how are you doing this? God makes the promised land possible, but we pay the price to live there. There is a cost, lady, and no matter how we go about it, there is a cost to move into our divine destiny. You know, when they were in the desert, God did miracles to or for them. The manna, the pillar of fire and cloud, and it directed them. And God was doing all that stuff for them. The water through the rocks and all those kind of things. He was doing that all for them. But what happens when they cross over? God starts to do miracles through them. Who's available to allow God to do miracles through you, through us? Because in many ways, God has done miracles to us or for us in this particular context. That, for me, I sit back and I go, God, how does it work? I don't know how it's worked. It's just happened. Ask Jamie. Jamie's the builder. Ask him, if you get a chance, what God said to him about building the church. And ask him whether he thinks that that's a miracle. And he's done many buildings. And he'll say outright, I was speaking to him this week. He says, this is a miracle. And we've done it for half the price that the quantity surveyor said. Half the price. We've got men and women in this community. We say, hey, we need this. Hey, George, I want to honor you, man. And George says, I want to come and help you with the ceiling. So I say, cool. So I say, here's the things, here's the dimensions. He comes during the week, and then he says, you know what? Providing it for you free of charge. Now, there's a man's heart who's grabbed a hold of what God's doing. And he goes, How do I take what I've been? I'm in that industry. I've got that stuff, I've got access. Hey guys, come and help the church. Cool, we've got the stuff, here you go. That's somebody who's taking a divine opportunity to move into his divine purpose in God. The manna stops. The cloud disappears. The fire disappears. There's no more warmth. They've now got to find stuff and kill it and eat it. And God circumcises all the Bethel-going aged men in enemy territory. I don't know about you, but I shiver when I think of that moment. They didn't have Swiss Army knives. They had Flintstones. Now, I don't know about you, but think of that moment. Like, how did they do it? Did you stand in a line? Was there a chopping block? I don't know. How did it happen? Were the ladies present? I don't know. Yeah, was it sterile? It blows my mind. And it puts a fear of God in me. But he says to them, go and do these things, and nothing happens to them because they're in enemy's territory. They're listening to the word of God. Excuse me. They're swallowing the Spirit, and that's what happens. God protects them. God takes them in. Here's the thing. In moments, in these divine moments and opportunities, there's an acceleration. Nehemiah, think about it. What took years to happen happened like this. Nehemiah is sitting there. Next thing, his mates come and they say, no, you think Jerusalem was rebuilt? No, it's not. It's in ruins. The walls are down. The gates are burnt with fire. He goes, he's a cupbearer for goodness sake. He's not a Jamie builder. He goes across to Jerusalem. He sees the stuff. He's got so much opposition. Guys are coming. They're trying to call him down so they can kill him. They've tried this for 50 years to rebuild the walls. The walls have been broken for 150 years. He rebuilds them in 52 days. 52 days, which took everyone else 50 years to even try, and 150 years that it's been broken, he builds it in 52 days. Now you say, okay, Gary, what? What? That was our land on the 31st of August, 2017. That's this year. We don't even have the slab in yet. If I'd shown you 2 weeks before that, we wouldn't have even had the pillars there. That's what it's looking like on Friday. Inside our main building, our offices, the toilets, the foyer area, the kids' classrooms. The other one is already built up to 1.5 meters. This one will be, this and the other one will likely be finished by the end of this week or by the middle of next week. We put the roof on in January, end of January. Our field. Our kids are going to have a place to run. Look at that amazing field. That's actually my thing that I've been wanting to happen. Ask Jamie. I mean, where's the field happening? I want to play touch rugby and after church, have a braai and just chill. 3 months. Do you think that's a suddenly?
Amen.
Charmaine's not here. Well, she is. How many bricks on the main? 86,000 bricks. So let's add 86 plus the classrooms. We're probably looking at over 100,000 bricks that have been laid in 3 months. How is that possible? Look, I've watched these oaks. They're amazing. But 100,000 bricks in 3 months? And they haven't always been on the property every single day. God has done amazing things and has accelerated stuff. Why? Because in these moments, these divine moments and opportunities, God accelerates things. What is happening in your life? What are the divine opportunities and moments that God has for you? Are you going to grab a hold of them to take a hold of your divine purpose? Or are you going to shrink back? But say, okay, God, I don't know how this is happening, but I'm stepping, I'm putting my feet in the water. And oh my word, check what just happened. An acceleration comes. But you know what? God's not just into accelerating a building project. He's into accelerating dealing with broken relationships. In this season, if you've got broken relationships, deal with them. Maybe you're struggling to fall pregnant. God will bring about a pregnancy in your life. And I know for some women, they go, ooh, Mufasa. But some people, women are struggling to fall pregnant. What about those sin and the sin addictions that you do have? God wants to radically accelerate and deal with them in a moment. Maybe doctors have told you, no, you've got an illness. You can't do anything about it. God wants to deal with that now. Accelerate and deal with it now. See, in these moments, we're able to harness God's grace and goodness towards us. At the same time, let's not underestimate the enemy who's going to come at us. And what also happens in these moments, these unusual occurrences. Things that happen against the most ridiculous odds. Think of this last season we've been in worldwide. Brexit. Like everyone goes, how did that happen? Donald Trump coming into president. Everyone goes, how the heaven did that happen? And you go through Robert Mugabe right now. Who would have thought that he'd be out a month ago? And a man who's taken over him has had an encounter with God like no other. Yes, he did some really bad stuff, but thank goodness he's like a Paul or a Saul who's now coming to a place who's gone, oh my word, I've seen Jesus and I want to serve the people and this is how I'm going to go about it. God is on the move. Something is happening amongst us. How's this? Last year, the Pope Francis comes and he brings all the Protestant churches together. I don't know how many leaders were there. And he declares after 500 years of the Reformation that the Protestant and Catholic Church are one. Do you know what that means? Luther must be doing a jig in heaven. Martin Luther, that is. But again, I come to this place. It requires something of us. Speak to Charmaine. Speak to Dale. Speak to Paul. Speak to myself. Speak to Louise. Speak to Evan. Speak to Jamie. As much as that's amazing, yes, it takes a lot out of us. I was there on Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Charmaine's still running around grabbing stuff. Because the builders go, not Jamie, but the other builders go, oh, we forgot. You need this. We need those things that tie the trusses to the bricks because we're now at that level. Well, why didn't you tell us that yesterday? What about broken relationships? Forgiveness costs us something. We have to give up our bitterness and put it away so we can bring reconciliation. Addictions, we have to throw things out. We have to give things up. We have to put ourselves into place. We have to position ourselves away from things that are going to tempt us into a place that God can't work in and through us. Number 5. Not only about what God has said, because God has said about the land, but it's also what he's saying right now. You know that moment when you're with your kids and you say, and my kids aren't here so I can pick on them. You go, Jordan, why don't you go to the garage and get me? And before you can even finish your sentence, he's gone. And he comes back, Dad, what did you want me to get? Well, I didn't tell you because you just went ahead. And you say, I need you to get the spade. And he's off. I didn't finish, my boy. I need you to get the spade, the pick, and I need the shovel, please. But why didn't you tell me? Well, you didn't let me speak. You just went ahead. In these moments, yes, there's a promised land. Yes, there's a movement. Yes, there's a new season that's coming. But God is speaking all the time. And when Israel didn't realize that and they go and they fight Ai, they get a snot clap because they weren't listening to what God has said. It wasn't a do-do-do-do-ha moment in terms of Ai. Jericho had happened. Now they had to go into normal combative mode. And if you watch and you see the military prowess that they moved in after the fact, there was a massive military process of coming in from the east and the west and there and, you know, all that kind of stuff that a platoon does or an army does. They had to go back into this place. Okay, God, how do we do this? And God gives them the strategy on how to go about it. What is God saying in our time? How's this for a quote? In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully prepared for that which no longer exists. If you think we know everything about what we're doing, no, we're going on a road that we don't know how this is going to work. But if we do it together, and if we all step in the water, and if we all allow this process, and we listen to what God is saying, well, we can prepare ourselves for those things that seem out of sorts or not kind of in line with what we were thinking. There's two things that happen. Is that often we have seasons where we have to fight for it. Trust me, there have been seasons over this land. Roger's here. Our SDP. Our rezoning. I mean, it was ridiculous how we had to go into council and kind of walk them through a process because Joburg Water refused to give us a township application. The council refused to give us a consent use because they wanted us to do this, but so no one wanted to sign off on it. We had to go and sit in front of this oak and say, can somebody make, can somebody at least go, okay, we'll let it go. And thank goodness the council said, no, we'll give it, and Joburg Water signed off. But so we've had to fight for this, and there's seasons we have to fight. It's like a baby chick who comes out of an egg. Why do you think a baby chick has to fight itself out of the egg? To strengthen itself so that it can actually live. God puts things in us, in our way, and on this journey so that we fight for it, so that when we come out of it, we go, oh, okay, now we can kind of get going. But then there's other seasons, and you know why he does that? He does that so we understand the authority that we have as sons and daughters. But then these other seasons, we sit back like this building process, and God, as a kid, my dad just comes and gives it to me. Why did I not have to fight for that? Father just goes, no, Gary, here, love us, here. Why is he doing that? Because those are seasons where he's teaching us about our identity. You're my son, here, but I don't deserve it, Lord. Yeah, but my son does. And you're in my son. You're my son. And whether you're deserving or not, I'm giving it to you because I'm your father. We need the Spirit inside of us to discern the season. What is God saying as we move? Number six, seeing versus truth. Numbers 13:31. Israelites, they've come out of Egypt. They've spent their 2 weeks kind of doing their stuff down at Mount Sinai. They go in, they check out the land. It says, but the men who had gone in with them said, we cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about what they had explored and they had seen. The land we explored will devour us and those living in it. All the people we saw were like a great size. We saw the Nephilim. That's like the big giants that are there. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. They didn't take God's perspective on this, did they? Because now in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, which is up behind me, here they are, they've gone in as spies into Jericho, and they're checking it out, and they meet the lady Rahab, and we all know who she is, and she's a prostitute, and Joshua meets up with her, and they start to have this conversation, and it says, and so Rahab goes up onto the roof, and she said, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear has fallen upon us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea 40 years ago. So what they were seeing was, oh my word, these giants, we can't do this. The people on the other side, all the otherites, were sitting there going, oh my word, Israel's coming and look what their God is doing for them. And their hearts melt with fear. What are you choosing to look at? What you're seeing in our country right now? Or what is the truth about what God has spoken over our country?
Amen.
Your work situation, are you believing what God has said over that situation? Or are you reacting and acting based on what you see, the way your boss is acting and reacting and all those kind of things? Verse 12, it says, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage fell because of you. For the Lord your God in heaven is God in heaven above. And on the earth. What are we looking at? What are we focusing on? Because when I look at what still needs to be done there, I go, God, I still don't know how you're going to do it. But you know what? He's shown the way. And we've received what he has got for us. And yet Rahab showed us. 40 years, these people have been standing in fear. Meanwhile, the Israelites pulled back and didn't walk into their divine purpose. They didn't take a hold of the divine opportunity God had given to them back then. And you know what? Only two men walk in. Two men. Out of millions, walk in. So here, surround yourself with faithful men and women. I'm grateful for Steve. I'm grateful for Paul. I'm grateful for Grant. I'm grateful for Karen. I'm grateful for Ian. I'm grateful for Paul, and if I mentioned him already, who else have I missed? Richard. Why? Because there's times, someone like Richard in particular, I go, Richard, what am I going to do? Gary, God has said, we are here for you. We're here with you. Let's keep going. No, we have to drop the salaries of the staff. No, we're not. We're going to give increases. What? No, we've got to cut back on expenses. No, we're not going to do that. No, we're actually going to give the staff increases. But Rich, I'm not getting a salary. That's fine. We'll take care of you. Men and women of faith who see what God has called us to, and we navigate through those things, and they have surrounded us, and we're not looking at what we see, and the lack that may be present, but actually we're looking at what God has for us into the future. Look at what God has for us into the future. You know, don't sell your inheritance for a cup of soup. I've had men and women come to me and say, Gary, we need to sell that land. You guys can't keep going with this financial stress and whatever else. And on one level, I mean, at the prayer meeting, somebody mentioned that, you know, Gary's never said he wants to give up. No, trust me, conversations. In the bed at night going, I don't know, we can do this anymore. And I realized, no, I'm not going to be like Esau. I'm not going to sell my inheritance for a cup of soup. We were offered 16.5 million rand last year. That would have done us really good. We could have gone and bought another place and done what we needed to do and when we want to do it. Trust me, did I think about that? Trust me, did some of the guys around me go, yo, maybe this is a good option? Of course it was. But then you get to that point and you say, no, I'm going to be selling mine here. I guarantee you in 10 years' time, I'm going to look back and say, thank you, Lord, that I never did that. Thank you, Lord, that I never gave up on it. I didn't allow fear to set the agenda, but I moved in. And lastly, if anything you remember from this morning, please remember this last one. humble, faith, rest. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Now remember, this is an angel. "Neither," he says. "I don't know about you, but I'm about to go fight a battle that's in the promised land that God said, and you're an angel, and I'm asking you, are you for us?" And you go, "No, I'm not for you or the enemy." I don't know about you, but that kind of blows my mind. So he says, "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, and he asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take up your sandals, for this place that you're standing on is holy." Ladies and gents, that place is holy. I don't know about you, I'm on there most days. And God's presence is there in the most profound way. And he's going to do something profound in our midst and in our day, and for future generations. In chapter 6, after that process, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men." What am I trying to say? We need to operate in humility. What does that mean? Well, we must learn to abandon all the outcomes to God. Let me rephrase it. Let me say that again. We need to learn to abandon the outcomes to God. If we don't abandon our outcomes to God, then what we do is we've got these preconceived ideas of what that needs to look like. What needs to happen in 3 months' time? What needs to happen? No, we have a plan, but God establishes our steps. God doesn't think like me. He doesn't think like you. And we need to accept that there are things that we don't have the power to change or to influence. And we need to allow God to do what he does, because faith is not a result. See, we always think faith is, no, I've got to do this and I've got it. Faith isn't about us walking onto that land. Faith has been the journey, and the journey still to come. That I stand with a posture towards God of he is good, he is kind, no matter the outcome. Now, 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says we need to clothe ourselves in humility. But let me read it to you. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety, because he cares for you." So it's interesting that humility and resting in God are the same side of the coin. That if we don't have a humility and resting in God, we actually land up with an anxiousness within inside of us, and we don't get that deep rest from the soul. But then, what happens is, someone like Jesus comes along, and he says this: "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely." There's the story of the fact that when they put oxen together, they always yoke a younger oxen with an older oxen. Why? Because the younger oxen just wants to go and do whatever it does. But there's a wisdom. We prayed about it earlier around the old ANC God. We have the wisdom and the faith that they brought South Africa through an injustice period into the new South Africa. And we pray that these men and women would stand up and start to speak truth into the younger generation. It's the same thing. We want to do this and we want to rush and we want to... No, just come alongside. Yoke yourself to Jesus. Why? Because it's easy and his burden is light. And he will take us into the rest, the deep rest that we need. So throughout this time, throughout this whatever we do, we cannot lose focus on this is for him. This is not about Lifehouse. This is not about Gary. This is not about Louise. This is not about us as a people. This is about the kingdom of God coming into a city and impacting a city for his kingdom. So, are you positioning yourself? Are you going to make some adjustments for the sake of this community and for the sake of the kingdom? Do you have a strategy to walk out this next season with the word of God that he's given you? You can see we have as a community for the church. We need to deal with the idols inside of ourselves. Otherwise, we are going to be opposed by the enemy. We need to anticipate God's miracles, because there are already miracles happening and there will be more as we move on to our land. By the way, I don't know if we told you this, but 3CR Church 2 weeks ago gave us 150,000 rand. The Tribe Church down the road, and I know they're smaller than us, gave us 50,000 rand towards our building project. Miracle upon miracles are happening. What is God saying now? How do we journey now? How do we journey tomorrow, next week, beginning of Jan? How do we do that? Are we listening to what God's saying? What we see is not always what is happening and what God is doing, even in our country. You know what? There's going to be things going down over this next couple of weeks with the ANC and all that kind of stuff. When you go, oh God, no, God's doing something. Yoke yourself to Jesus and abandon the expectations of outcomes.